Well, Lord, we thank you, and we thank you for the time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you for your goodness. And we ask that you set our minds so that we can hear and understand and grasp what's being shared, and that we believe your word is true. So, Holy Spirit, feed us the word. You are the bread that came down from heaven, Jesus. You are the bread of life. And we partake of the bread now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the subject is divine healing. Most of you know the story of my nephew. He's a sergeant in Iraq. He was in a Humvee, and it hit a mine, an IED that the insurgents planted there, and most of his men were killed, and he was severely hurt, injured, critically injured, fatally injured, and he was treated there on the scene. Then he's rushed over to Germany from Iraq, and then he was rushed to Bethesda Naval Hospital. And he was treated there, and he was comatose. And according to the neurosurgeons, he was brain dead. And my brother called me. You all know Eric, my brother. He works here. He called me and wanted me to come fly back to Bethesda, and I did. He says it's not very good, and Sam is a young man. He has a wife named Erin, and the doctor said he's brain dead. You know, you should just pull the plug. And we sat down with these two doctors. They're naval doctors. These are the same characters that worked on Ronald Reagan when he got shot. Bethesda Naval, that's where they take presidents, right there. It's right out of Washington, D.C. And we went there. I flew back there. I started an immediate fast. I started fasting food. I read the word. I read books all the way on the airplane, all day long. And I got there, and I saw him that night, and it didn't look good. And the next morning, we sat down with a couple doctors, and me, his wife Erin, and my brother, the three of us sat down, doctors, and they said, there's no hope here. We don't want to give you any hope. We don't think you should pursue this. It should just be ended right now. And the doctor said, Harvard has established 10 points for brain death. He meets all 10. They said, we'll give you the first three. Pupils don't respond to light. Eyes don't track. And I forget the third one. But anyway, he met the points. My brother said, well, how many cases have you seen like him? They said, about 450. And my brother said, how many have woke up? And they said, zero. And so I was there to spiritually lift them up. And the doctors, we asked if we could discuss it. The doctors went out of the room. They thought we were all going to just cave in. While they were out of the room, I asked the young wife if she'd ever received Christ. She said no. And she received Christ on the spot. And then they came back in, and we proceeded to tell them, don't give up on him. We're going to pray. We believe he's going to be okay. Now, how crazy are we? And so that's what we did. And they tried to talk us out of it. They kept sending us other doctors to try to talk us out of it. We just kept getting stronger as they tried to talk us out of it. I actually flew home 12 days later, never having seen any evidence that he's going to wake up. But apparently 40, 50, 60 days, he woke up. And he's doing real good. He's in physical therapy now. He still uses a wheelchair. He's talks, has humor. But this is a guy that was totally, his brain was like mush, and his brainstem was mush. And And it's like that's what the trauma of that blast did to him. And we enlisted like 20, 30,000 people to pray through the internet, through different organizations, Christian Marines, and it was really neat because not only is he up, he's like a testimony now that you don't give up. You know, with God, anything is impossible. And I called one of my mentors. His name is Dave DeWell. I called him about the second night when we had no evidence. And it's like, I need a little encouragement myself. I was there to encourage others, and I need a little encouragement. Got him on the cell phone. He called me back in 15 minutes, and he was in Hungary. He was about to preach a crusade. And he says, "Brother, you go raise him up." He says, "Let me tell you something, brother. Faith overrules fact." That's what he said. And that became kind of our theme, our motto: faith overrules fact. And so we just use faith. And that nephew of mine is alive today because of God, and because of Jesus Christ, because of faith, and because of what I'm going to talk to you here about healing. Now, in the Christian church, a lot of believers are against this message, and they don't really know why. And I've just figured they haven't really checked their Bible out. Like, we're going to let's check it out so we can weigh in on what we believe here. And I let me tell you something. I'm 55 years old, and praise God, I don't have any physical issues whatsoever. And I haven't. I haven't even had a doctor in 20, 30 years. And, you know, and I can play with the 18-year-olds and the 25-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, play ball with them and do anything with them. Wrestle with them, you know. And I don't have bad joints. And I don't even get headaches. I definitely don't get colds. But you know what? I believe this stuff. I use this stuff. I was teaching this a little last year to a few guys. And one of the guys in here caught it. And he caught the vision of what I was saying from the word here. Cold season hit. He started getting a cold. He did what I said. He spoke out against it verbally and it left. He had it for just a few minutes. He was all excited. And he was ready to, raring to go. He says, "Okay, who can I pray for?" So, let's start here in Exodus. The premise I want to share with you here is that God used to heal the children of Israel, and God has made provision through the cross of Jesus Christ not only to forgive our sins but to heal our bodies. And you might say, "Well, wait a minute, Greg, not everybody gets healed." But you know what? Not everybody gets saved either, right? And this is something that takes faith, just like receiving Christ for your salvation. Or addictions. Not everybody gets off their addictions that goes to Christ, you know, because they don't, you know, if you don't believe, it doesn't help. You know, if you don't believe you're going to go to heaven and Christ is saving you, it doesn't help. The cross of Christ doesn't help you, right? Well, healing is no different. Divine healing. Look what God said to the children of Israel. Exodus 15, everybody in 15, let's go to verse 23. He's leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and they're out there dying of thirst. It says, "Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink," verse 23, "when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah," and that word means bitter. "And the people murmured against Moses, and they said, 'What shall we drink?' So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Then he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. One thing you got to see is that it's in his character to be a healer. So he's got the same character he had then, now. He loves people. He doesn't like people suffering. So it's in God's character. He calls himself, his Hebrew name for healer is Jehovah Rophi, and he called himself that. And it means God my healer. That's what it means. And he calls himself that. When you get released from addictions, he's healing you of the problem. When you get a deliverance, he's healing you of demon oppression or possession or whatever the case may be. When you get healed from a upset stomach or a toothache or a headache or the flu, you know, that's God healing. But one thing I wanted to point out is, if you go back to verse 23, the water was bitter. Did you know that we are mostly made up of water? You ever hear that? Would they say 70% water? It's I hear it's 70. Okay. Also, when you get sick, guess what? You have bitterness in your being. When you're sick, you have bitterness in your being. Look at this. What does God tell Moses to do? Go find a tree. Wait, wasn't the cross made out of a tree? This is a wonderfully symbolic story. The cross is made out of a tree. It says in Peter, Jesus was hung on a tree. It says that. And so what does he tell Moses to do symbolically for the future of mankind? He wants to show this beautiful prophetic picture. And you have bitter waters, kind of like a human body with sickness in it, and you throw the tree in the bitter water, and the bitter water is made sweet. When God heals your body, it's like you go sweet. Things get sweet. And then he says, in verse 26, he says, I am the Lord who heals you. I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. Now notice that he gave him a condition. He says, if you will heed the voice and do what is right. So right now, it's kind of based on not sinning, right? Being healed is kind of based on not sinning. You see, that changed when Jesus came and the New Testament came. Being healed is now based on faith. It's not based on not sinning. Because guess what? We become righteous through our faith. When we believe we're righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're made righteous as a gift. So we get our righteousness free, and we get our healing free. And we get our salvation free. Effortlessly. That's my favorite word. Maybe because I'm lazy. Then look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, everybody. I've seen amazing miracles myself, just praying for people. I've seen people healed of every kind of thing. I laid hands on a lady once. She's a chain smoker. She's in her 30s and she had emphysema. And I laid hands and put my hands on her, prayed, asked God to take away the smoking urge and to heal her lungs of the damage she had done. And I didn't see that couple for about 5 years after that. I didn't see them from the very moment I prayed for them. I didn't see them again. And they wrote me a letter, and they had moved out of state. And they said, we didn't smoke after that night. And by the way, I'm over emphysema, totally. And I was over it that night. It's like, well, that would have been nice, Lord, to know for encouragement. But sometimes he would like for you to not know, so you use your faith more. Because if you always get the results because you see them, then why do you have to believe? You need to get results because you believe. Not because you see, but because you believe. That's true faith. Faith is believing what you can't see because God said it.
We're in Psalm 103. Look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. By the way, this is David, King David. Bless the Lord, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And just on our subject tonight, healing, look at that. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. I notice in Scripture a lot, forgiveness and healing are put close together. It's like people that are diseased and sinful, that's often related too, you know. Because Jesus said to a woman that He healed, He says, go your way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He said that to someone. And, oh wow. In fact, look at, there's God's character right there. And look at verse 2. Forget not all His benefits. God has a benefits package. I mean, when you go to work for a big corporation, you want to see their benefits package. Well, when you go to serve a God, when you get into His kingdom, when you let Him become your Father, He's got a benefits package for you. It says, forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. I'm just telling you, if you grasp this, you know what? This not only heals you when you're sick, but this will help you prevent. Remember all that stuff last year is coming out about H1N1 virus? I wasn't afraid one bit. I believe I'm insulated. But it's because I believe. See? I've been believing this for almost 30 years. And walking in it. And helping other people walk into it. And then sometimes a miracle is necessary. But you know, it's far better to prevent something to have to heal it after someone gets it. You know? It's better to not get sick. Now, you have to watch some health laws too. You need to drink a lot of water. You need to get a lot of sleep. You need healthy foods, antioxidants. You know what I mean? It's like God won't... God is not a dummy. He doesn't want to keep healing you because you're supersizing it every day. Okay? Anyone ever see that movie, Supersize Me? This guy did a documentary and he ate nothing but McDonald's food and he ate these big things of fries and Big Macs and he did this every day. He almost died. And the scientists followed him along and documented it all. And you just can't live any way you want, you know, because that would not be right. And then ask God to pick up the slack for you. I mean, He wants us to cooperate with our own, you know, with our own health. But anyway, if you look there right in Psalm 107, just a few pages away, verse 17. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word, and He healed them, and He delivered them from their destructions. You know what? When we were back there in Bethesda, and my nephew was lying there in a coma, I told the wife and I told my brother, I said, look, if there's a hope here for his healing, it's going to be the Word of God that will heal him. We have to believe, of course. We have to have faith. But the Word, if we use the Word in our words and in our prayer and study it and look at it and believe it and keep speaking it over him, the Word is going to get him up. It isn't going to be us. It's going to be the Word of God. That's how powerful the Word of God is, from Genesis to Revelations. And so look at verse 20. He sent His word and healed them. You see, God is very efficient. He doesn't have to keep doing something for everybody on the planet every day. He put it in here, and we all have equal access to the cookie jar.
God's cookie jar. He put it in here. He spoke it in here. There's thousands and thousands of promises in here. And if you receive His promises, they become yours, and you can stand on them, and you can expect your Heavenly Father to bring them to pass for you. And He promised to deliver you. So if you want free of an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction or something, it's God promised to deliver you. You just take Him at His word. But I told my son once when he was struggling with alcohol, I said, when you want God more than you want the alcohol, you'll be free. You will be free.
So true.
Pardon? It's so true, huh?
Yeah. You know, all of my addictions or my bondages didn't start falling until I got really excited about God. And they keep falling one by one.
Because He's a high.
Yeah. That's anything I've ever done. It's funny because I've actually experimented with some drinking and stuff, and it just wasn't the same anymore because God is so much better than that. So,
yeah. I get high on God all the time. Like right now, I feel high. I'd do anything. Want to see me moonwalk? Couldn't do that unless I was high. My personality is kind of semi-introverted. That I had to learn to be outgoing. I have this dignified personality. But I will do goofy things when I'm teaching or sharing because I'm high. I feel high. And also, then I have this memory. I'm able to speak and share and teach. And that all comes from God. It's like mental clarity, you know. And some people don't have mental clarity until they get a drink in them. Living under the influence of God. If you don't know if that's scriptural, that's on the day of Pentecost when the apostles, the disciples all got filled with the Holy Spirit. All the people watching them said, these men are drunk and it's only 9 in the morning. And Peter stood up and said, men of Israel, men and women of Israel, this is not drunkenness. This is the Holy Spirit that was promised. They're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so, He sent His word and healed them, delivered them out of their destructions. Also, go back to verse 17. Fools because of their transgression. See, most people bring on their own issues. I hate to say that, but most people with diseases have brought them on. And it isn't always like that. I mean, some innocence get in the way sometimes, and then we'll get a disease from someone else or through some mistake, you know. But usually people don't suffer because they weren't involved in their own how things went bad for them. People are involved in it themselves, sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. That's what the Bible calls it. People sow to the wind. We need to sow to the Spirit. You don't want to sow to the flesh, like Romans says. You want to sow to the Spirit. Jesus talked about seeds and farmers all the time, reaping, planting, harvesting. What, he lose his mind? Just all of a sudden, he's the God of the universe. He's come down in human form, and all of a sudden he's just talking about seeds and farming. No, we were made like that. We are God's crop. We're the soil. God plants His word in us. He wants to harvest righteousness from us, from a seed form. Jesus knew what He's talking about. You know what? I'm sowing every day. And a wise man learns not to sow negative and to sow positive. Cut off sowing the negative and just sow the positive. And pretty soon you have this harvest coming in on top of you all day long, every day. My wife and I have a marriage like that. We have sown love to one another and respect. And now that's all we do to each other is love and respect each other and have fun and lots of laughs. And it's like a marriage is either heaven on earth or hell on earth, and there's usually no in between. Hear, hear. Proverbs 4. See, so far, you're seeing a character in God that loves man and wants to bless him. Proverbs 4, verse 20. This is God talking to His children. He says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." To how much of your flesh is God's word health to? How much of your flesh is God's word health to? All. Is there anything excluded there? Did He leave anything out? That God's word is health to all our flesh. Every part of your body.
Verse 23 in mind says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts."
Yeah, that's good. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. They call this the great substitutionary chapter because God saw man's problem. God saw man's problem, and then He inserted Christ as the substitutionary sacrifice for man's problems. Okay? And look what it says in Isaiah 53:4. "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He is wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." By His stripes. So a lot of Christians go, "Well, that means emotional healing, Greg. That means healing of your sins." But you know what? That's literally physical healing. In fact, Ken, they have a way of putting the Hebrew meanings to the side in little footnotes. It says, "Surely He has borne our griefs." This is the King James. Yeah. There's a little T there. And what does the word griefs mean? Where my finger is.
Sickness.
Sicknesses. It says, so let me insert the word, the proper word for English. "Surely He has borne our sicknesses." There's no mistaking. A sickness is not a sin. And a sickness is not an emotional healing. A sickness is a sickness. Pretty simple, isn't it? He bore it. In other words, He would like us to not bear things because He bore things on His body on the cross. This is, and notice where it says, "By His stripes we are healed." Make a note of that. We are healed. Isn't "our" present tense? By His stripes. See, did anyone see that movie, The Passion? They hit Him 39 lashes with that thing, the cat of nine tails that had bones on the end of it. And as they pulled it back, it shredded His skin and ripped Him to pieces. In fact, if you look here in verse 2, it says, "For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him." If you do a word study here, where it says He has no form, He was unrecognizable. His own friends could not tell who He was. He's beaten by soldiers, crown of thorns, beat up 39 lashes by the Roman soldiers, ripping His flesh to pieces. And then, every disease known to man came on His body. Leprosy, AIDS, Hep C, cancer. The Bible says He bore the sicknesses on the cross. It's right there. "Surely He's borne our sicknesses. not to mention being shredded by these people that mutilated him. He bore all these sicknesses of all the generations of man were put on his body. God, the Bible says, God, his Father smote him. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he willingly went through that. And then within 3 days, he was healed of everything. Rose from the dead, not one disease on him. Victorious, conquering king. But, you know, he was unrecognizable, no form. That's what that means right there. So, go to Matthew 8. We're making good time. I'm going to have you snug in your bed shortly, but you're going to be lying awake like, what did he just say? Huh? Matthew 8.
Book in the New Testament?
Matthew 8. I don't know, this chapter is so full of healing verses. Look in verse 2, it says, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put his hands out and touched him and said, I am willing, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean." Jesus touched a leper. You weren't supposed to do that. You could get an infection right there and catch it. Nobody touched him in those days. Jesus touched him. But the greatest part here is he says, Lord, if you are willing. Jesus never turned down anyone for healing. And yet there's this doctrine in the body of Christ in the Christian church today where people go, well, maybe it isn't God's will that he gets healed. How are you going to pick and choose who's who? Isn't that stupid? No, everyone came to Jesus, God healed. Everybody that came to Jesus, he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I'm willing. Well, you know what? Jesus, it says in the Bible that Jesus was when he walked on this earth, he's the express image of the Father. He says, me and the Father are one. He says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And now, you know exactly what the Father would say if you went to him for healing. You go, Father, you're invisible. I can't see you like I can see Jesus. But if you'd be willing, you could make me clean. If you're a leper, you go right to the Father. What would the Father say? I will. I will. You see how that heart is there? And if you just keep going through this whole verse, verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother. He saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left, and she arose and served them. He just healed people wherever he went, including Peter's mother-in-law. But the point I wanted you to see on this is look at verse 16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick. How many... You mean he didn't wade through and find out which ones it was God's will to heal? How many did he heal?
All
of them. He had a crowd of hundreds or thousands, and he healed them all. He didn't separate the sheep from the goats. The sinners and the believers alike all got healed by him. Isn't that amazing? That's the way God is. And it says that now remember that where I just read you that substitutionary chapter in Isaiah? Look what it says. That might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. In other words, Jesus, when he was healing the sick on earth, when he's walking those 3 years of his earthly ministry, he was fulfilling the prophecy from Isaiah hundreds of years before that said he bore sicknesses. But then a lot of people go say, okay, Greg, but then that settles it. It's all done right there. He finished it. He fulfilled it. It's fulfilled. It's done. It doesn't happen today. I've had people say that to me. So we have to now look further to see if those people are correct. Look at Hebrews 13:8. Everybody know where Hebrews is? It's towards the back, right after Timothy, Titus. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. It's the last chapter of Hebrews. And just, I want you to see verse 8. Jesus Christ, well, read that to me, Ken.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
See what I mean? Whatever he did then, he will do today. In fact, did you know he's still got his ministry today? But he's performing it through Christians. He performs his ministry through Christians. He's the head, we're the body. That's what the Bible says. And he's still got all the love, all the willingness, all the compassion, and all the power he ever had. The people have to believe it. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. You mark that one down. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. What he did yesterday, he'll do today. And he'll do it forever. You see, you know what? If I were sick and I asked God to heal me and I didn't get the healing, I would still believe it. You know why? Because the Word says it. If the Word settles it, that says it, and I believe it. You know, if the Word says it, that settles it, and I believe it, and it doesn't matter what I see. You know, it says that some people have died in faith, believing, and they died before they saw the manifestation of what they believe. And they've died believing. And that's the way I want to be. Is believe. Okay. Go to Mark 16. Praise God. Mark 16. Mark. We're almost done, everybody.
Awesome. Awesome teaching.
Oh, you're getting something out of this. Well, look at these red letters in chapter 16 of Mark. He says unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And who's going to do these acts?
Jesus.
No, verse 17. Who's going to do these acts?
Those who believe.
Those who what?
Believe.
Say it for my recorder.
Those who believe.
Yeah, those who believe. There's no qualification here of casting out devils, laying hands on the sick to see them recover. All these powerful supernatural things, there's no qualification except you be a believer. You don't have to be a pastor or a priest. You don't have to be a TV evangelist. I mean, all you have to do is believe the Bible. Believe Jesus is working in you and through you. That's all you have to believe. You just have to believe that. This is Jesus saying this. Matthew 10. Matthew 10. So I've heard people say, you know, Greg, the healing was all for the disciples, the apostles, and when that last one died, it all went away. I've heard people say that to me. So let's look at that for a minute. Let's see if the Bible backs that up. Matthew 10, verse
5. These 12 Jesus sent out commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand,' heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So he sent his 12 out two by two to heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse lepers, and they did. They did. His disciples went out in his name and in his power, and it was a special grace of power directly from him, because the Holy Spirit was not yet given at that time. So they're operating on the Holy Spirit kind of as a residue from, in association with him. He told them it would work, and it worked for them. Okay? But now watch this. Go to Luke 10. We're going to see something very interesting here. Luke 10. Luke 10. After these things, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then it says, this is what he told them to do. Heal the sick who are out there and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near you." So he sent 70, 35 teams of two out into the Israel nation to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, do all the things he told the disciples to do. So now he's got 12 out there doing it. Now he's got 70 more. So he's got 82 people out there doing it besides himself. Isn't that interesting? In his earthly ministry. Oh, so that with himself, that's 83. And then the disciples came and told on a guy and said, "Master, there's a guy out there you haven't sent, and he's healing the sick in your name. We want him to stop." He says, "Let him go. He who is not against us is for us. Let him go." Add that guy into the mix now. Now you have 84. 84 people healing the sick. So where's this argument that says healing was just the apostles? See, that's a false teaching. I'm giving you the truth. This is the truth here. And so now let's go to the book of James. James. Chapter 5. Now this James was the first pastor of the church, and he wrote this. And in verse 13 he says, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed." Notice, by the way, that again, sin and sickness are related, and confession of the sin and healing are related. Notice that. I showed that to you several times tonight. Remember, he forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. It said in Psalms. And so look, in any church, anywhere, if you're sick, the appropriate thing for the Bible tells you to do is call for the elders of that church to come and pray for you. And to be honest with you, that's only when you're new to the faith, because after you mature in it, you're supposed to pray over yourself. When you get sick, you just pray over yourself. And if you just, you see where it says 1 Peter there, turn to 1 Peter 2. This is the last verse, everybody. 1 Peter 2.
verse 23. It says, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Remember we heard that back in Isaiah? Isaiah said, by whose stripes ye are healed. Remember Isaiah said, present tense, by his stripes you are healed. Remember that? Now Peter is looking back. Isaiah was looking forward as in a prophecy towards the cross of Calvary. And now Peter, it's already been done, he's looking back at the cross of Calvary. And he's saying, it isn't you are anymore, it's you were. You were. There's this great man of God, and he was healed as a teenager. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. There's a great man of God, and that I've read a lot of his teachings, heard a lot of his teachings, and I've studied under this man, and he's passed away now in his 80s. Healthy old man, passed away in health, old age. But when he was 17, he was healed of a deformed heart. About 10 years later, he was laying in his bed. He was healed. About 10 years later, he's laying in his bed. And he started getting chest pains. And Satan spoke to him and said, look, you didn't really get your healing because now it's back. And he started laughing. He just started laughing. And Satan said to him, what are you laughing at? And he said, you, the joke's on you. You're stupid. He says, the word says, by his stripes I was healed. See, I was healed already in the past tense. So God doesn't have to heal me tonight. I've already got it because I was 2,000 years ago. See, this is what you got to understand. Christ died and he bore your sins and your sicknesses on Calvary, on the cross, outside of Jerusalem. That means that you have the right, anytime after that, you have the right to receive it. And if some demon appears to you and says, you can't receive that, or some man says to you, you can't receive that, you can say, wait a minute, he bore it, which means I've already got it. It already belongs to me because he bore it in my place. And if he bore it in my place, then it belongs to me. I own it. I possess it. Just like I possess my spiritual salvation for heaven, I possess healing. It belongs to me. That's why that old man laughed at the devil. And he says, you're stupid, Satan. The laugh's on you because I've already got my healing. He rolled over, fell asleep, woke up the morning. His heart was fine. See, that's why I stood strong with my brother and my niece on young Sam Nichols, the Marine. It's because I believe we own the healing. It was ours that he bore that blown up body of young Sam on the cross too. He bore it. He bore all the infirmities of the whole earth on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says it's past tense. You, by his stripes, he doesn't now have to heal you. You already are healed. He doesn't have to heal your allergies. You already are healed of them. It's like he doesn't have to come and do anything for you because he bought the right for you to have it yourself. And the power of God is already present. Yes, you just receive it. You want to know how far God is from you? He's as close as your nose. And when you receive his power by faith, he just moves on you. He's close. You know, one man of God said, God is always on go. That's the first two letters of his name. G-O. Go. The light is always green. God is always ready to heal. He's always ready to forgive. He's always ready to deliver. It's always present tense. Faith is now. You believe it now, you get it now. The kingdom is ready here at all times. At all times. The kingdom is ready at all times. That's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done. This is my list that I shared with you tonight. And I drew an arrow from every scripture. There are four of them out of about 10 of them, where it says that sin and sickness are related, and forgiveness and healing are related. Every one of these scriptures I drew an arrow from say that. And so, in other words, healing is a little harder to believe for than your forgiveness. But it's there, it's available. And the reason it's available is because He bought it for you on the cross.
What I find interesting is, in the Word, is that if you are saved, you have this power. And go back to Acts 19:13, and it tells you, then some of the Jewish exorcists tried to invoke the name of Jesus over the evil spirit, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. When the seven sons of Sceva, high Jewish priest, tried to do this, the evil spirit said to them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? So if you're not saved, you don't have that. Then the evil spirit sprang upon them, subdued them all, overpowered them, and made them flee naked and wounded from the house. So without being saved, you don't have that power.
Because the Word of God is in you. The Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God. He's come to live in you. Live in you. Is anybody in here in pain right now? No. No one has any pain?
I have a little bit of bad pain sometimes. One thing I wanted to say, I met this lady at your church, actually, the Bill Johnson seminar thing, and she was in a wheelchair for 15 years. She had been saved. She'd been praying for her healing for a long time, and it didn't happen for her. So one day she was at the Uganda article, and I can't remember who was speaking, but she was praising and worshiping, and all of a sudden, in one moment, she came up out of her chair. So, I don't know. I think sometimes it takes, you know, a lot of persistence and continuing to keep in the faith. And it takes a lot of, like, hard work. Not hard work, but a lot of dedication to the Word of God and being with God as much as you possibly can and trying to please Him as much as you possibly can in order to receive all these things that the book talks about, you know. I think it's possible, too, for it to just happen to just, you know. I was listening to the Todd Bailey CD and they're saying that sometimes healings take place and people who don't even know God, it's just so God can glorify Him to other people who are in that area.
Well, yeah, I was at a men's retreat earlier this year, and this man who has a healing ministry worldwide, he was in Paris. He was praying for the sick, and here comes these mean guys coming along, and they're all ridiculing the Christians and the people praying. And this one guy, to the man of God that's telling us this story, he flips him off. This one guy. And this guy just, forgive him, Lord, you know. And all of a sudden, the guy that was flipping him off got a healed shoulder. He goes, like that. And the healing power is just going out. And isn't that an amazing God? Not giving someone what they deserve, but giving someone what they don't deserve by His grace, by His love. And that guy came back and asked for forgiveness.
Let's say somebody that is being a bad person trying to attack somebody and beat on them and stuff.